Well, good morning, everyone. What a wonderful day it is. What a wonderful feast. It's great to be here with God's people celebrating his feast and to be on stage with all these smiling animal faces. Now, I know probably in the back you can't really see these lions that Mr. Dobson mentioned, but if I go too long, they may get hungry and eat me for lunch. At least that's a slight concern, although I don't need to worry about it too much because you can't see this in the back, but each of these lions are holding a little lamb in their lap. So if they get hungry, maybe they'll eat the lamb first and save me, and I'll be able to finish today's sermon. We are here on day 6 of the Feast of Tabernacles, and this pictures a time that we call the millennium. And it will be an awesome time to be alive. We're going to have a perfect planet. We're going to have perfect natural environment, perfect government, perfect peace. What a paradise. But let's remember one thing. The millennium is not the same as God's eternal kingdom. God's eternal kingdom lasts forever. And every human being who has ever lived will have an opportunity to be in that kingdom. They may not all choose to be in it, but they will all have an opportunity to be in it. On the other hand, the millennium is not eternal. It is only the first 1,000 years of God's kingdom. It's only going to last 1,000 years, and a lot of people are going to miss the millennium. By the time Christ's feet touch down on the Mount of Olives, many people, a majority of people who are alive today, will be dead. This world today is Satan's world, and he's not going to hand it over peacefully to Jesus Christ. When Satan knows his time is short, he's going to do all that he can to destroy mankind. Just between the four horsemen of Revelation 6 and the great army that marches in Revelation 9, half of the world's population, 4 billion people, will die. And that doesn't count all of the others who will die from everything else in the book of Revelation. And yet, in spite of all these deaths, there will be some people alive when Christ comes back and the millennium begins. Who will they be? The title of this sermon is, Who Will Be in the Millennium? Who will be in the millennium? Let's read about how the millennium begins, how the earth will be ripped out of Satan's claws, his murderous evil claws, and this world will be placed into God's loving hands, and he brings his kingdom to this earth. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19, and we'll begin reading in verse 11. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Verse 14, And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Who are these armies in heaven following Jesus Christ? Well, Matthew 25:31 says, these are angels. Verse 15, And out of his mouth goes forth a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We see that he will be coming to the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 19, And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Who is this beast? It's a great political leader who gets his power from Satan. Verse 20, And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And these two were cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So we see there's a false prophet, and we know that that is a great false religious leader, also empowered by Satan. Verse 21, And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Continuing on in chapter 20, verse 1, Then I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And this 1,000 years is the millennium. Verse 3, And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished. Let's skip to verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But, and this is a parenthetical thought, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. And this is the first resurrection. He continues, Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. So from these scriptures, we learn that the millennium will be 1,000 years, and it will take place mostly here on earth, right after Jesus Christ returns. And we are given the identity of four groups of beings who will not be in the millennium. They will miss it completely. Who are these four groups of beings? Well, let's review them in the order that they were revealed. Number one, the beast and the false prophet will miss the millennium. These two great world leaders will be cast into the lake of fire, and they will be burned up when Christ comes back, and they will miss the millennium. Number two, the armies fighting against Christ will miss the millennium. The soldiers who fight against him when he comes back, they're going to be killed, and the birds will eat their flesh, and they're going to miss the millennium. Number three, Satan and his demons will not be in the millennium. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. Now, it doesn't mention his demons here, but it certainly doesn't make sense to bind Satan and then let his demons roam free. And we know from Matthew 25 that Satan and his demons will share an ultimate fate together, so it just makes sense that during the millennium, those demons will also be bound with Satan, and they're going to miss the millennium. Number four, and this is a very large group, almost everyone who has ever lived and died throughout the whole history of mankind will miss the millennium. There are only a few special people who lived and died in the past 6,000 years of man's history who will be resurrected to eternal life when Christ returns. The Bible calls them the first fruits. Everyone else who has ever lived and died will stay dead until the millennium is over. They're called in Revelation 20, verse 5, the rest of the dead. We read that scripture. The rest of the dead will not live again until the 1,000 years are finished. And the vast majority of people who have ever lived and died will miss the millennium. So who's going to be there? Who will be there? There are seven groups of beings who will be alive and free to experience the millennium. And they are a very special, privileged group. These are the only beings who will experience the first 1,000 years of God's kingdom on earth. So who are they? Number one, God the Father and Jesus Christ will be in the millennium. God the Father will be very involved in the millennium. After all, it's his kingdom. It's called the kingdom of God. Now, the Father will not be on earth yet. He will remain on his throne in heaven. But he will be very involved in calling humans and drawing them to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "No man can come to me unless the Father in heaven draw him." During the millennium, all of the people in the world will be drawn to Christ. That's a lot of drawing. The Father will be very busy during the millennium, opening up hearts and minds. When he calls humans, he will give them his Holy Spirit, and he will listen to their prayers, and he will answer them. Some of us will become spirit beings at the return of Jesus Christ. And because we are spirit beings, we will be able to travel back and forth between the physical earth and the spiritual realm. And we will get to see the Father for the first time once we are spirit beings. We will be able to stand in his presence before him. We will get to know the Father in a much more intimate way than we could ever know him as a human being. Now think about this from God's point of view. We as humans are thrilled to death when we can hold a small baby in our arms after waiting 9 months for that baby to be born. Some of us have waited longer than that. My wife and I had a daughter, and it took 11 years to have our second daughter. Between those times, we had a stillbirth and a miscarriage. When we had our second daughter, by that time, we didn't think we would ever have another child, and if we did have a pregnancy, it wouldn't survive. And when we did have her, we called her our miracle baby, because it took 11 years. 11 years is a long time, especially to our first daughter who was waiting for a sister. Think about Sarah. She waited a lot longer than we did, 90 years to have her son. 90 years is a long time. Now think about God. He's waited an eternity to have children. Real, live, Spirit-born children. Can you imagine the joy that's going to fill the Father's heart to have Spirit-born children in his presence? For all eternity, up until the moment that Jesus Christ returns, there are only two beings in the Godhead. And then suddenly, when the trumpet sounds, some humans will be turned into spirit beings, into Spirit-born sons of God, and the Father will have the beginning of his family. Perhaps every day during the millennium, God will call one or two of us resurrected saints before his throne and visit with us one-on-one. Or if that's too public a place with all the elders and the other angels around, maybe he'll draw us into a side room. I don't know if he has one. Maybe like a judge, he'll have a side chamber to the courtroom. He'll bring us in there, have some comfy, some easy chairs, overstuffed chairs, sit down, have a seat. And God will talk to us one-on-one. He might call us by name and say to us, as he did to Jesus Christ when he was baptized, "This is my beloved son or my daughter in whom I am well pleased." And he might say to us, "Well, I know you went through a lot, but you made it, and I'm glad you did. Congratulations, and welcome to my family. If there's anything you need, just let me know." With God, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The millennium is going to be an exciting family day lasting 1,000 years. And speaking of the God family, let's not forget the other member of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. He's our elder brother, the firstborn of many brethren. And he will be in the millennium too. It's his return that starts it. What a wonderful big brother he is. When the world is having its worst trouble ever, he will come riding to the rescue on a white horse to the sound of a trumpet, just like the cavalry in those old Western movies. Jesus Christ will set up his throne in Jerusalem, and he will rule the entire world from there. And what can we expect from our big brother? What kind of a ruler will Jesus Christ be? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Jesus will be a wonderful ruler, a counselor giving good advice. He will be mighty, and not some weak, feeble ruler who can't accomplish anything. He'll be someone we can all look up to and respect. Because, like King Arthur in the play Camelot, he will use his might for right. His government will grow and he will have peace everywhere it goes. He will establish his kingdom with good judgment and justice, just as Vincent Koviak mentioned on the first day of the feast. Jesus won't make mistakes and blunders. He won't make bad decisions. And people are going to rejoice under his rulership. And whether we are human beings or spirit beings at this time, Jesus is still our big brother, and he will be there to help us to do whatever we need to do. And he will never be too busy to talk to us. We won't have to go through a secretary to reach him and be turned away. Look at Isaiah 65, verse 4. Verse 24. Isaiah 65, 24. "It shall come to pass," this is the Lord speaking, "that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear." So he's going to be there. He'll be there before we call him. He'll know what we need and want. So yes, God the Father and Jesus Christ will be in the millennium. Number two, the second group to be in the millennium, the holy angels will be in the millennium. Because when Jesus Christ comes back to earth, he's going to be followed by a host of an army coming from heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, also riding upon white horses. Matthew 25:31 says this army is made up of angels. So they're going to follow Christ when he comes back to earth and help him as he sets up his government. So what are they going to be doing? Well, the word angel means messenger. So perhaps angels will serve as the FedEx, the UPS, and the post office in the millennium. And they won't get any of the mail lost, you know. They can get it delivered instantly. Forget overnight. They can get it delivered instantly. That's a possibility. But they're going to be more than messenger boys. They will have many other duties as well. They'll be doing the same thing they're doing in today's world. Number three, the third group, the dead in Christ will be alive in the millennium. The dead in Christ will be alive in the millennium. So how can dead people be alive in the millennium? Well, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 4, 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. That means they're dead, those who are dead in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So the dead in Christ will rise from their graves to meet Christ and the angels in the air as they're coming back to earth. And Jude 14 tells us that Christ will come with 10,000s of his saints. 10,000s of his saints. So who are the dead in Christ? What does that mean, dead in Christ? Romans 8:9 says, if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. We're not his. So the dead in Christ are people who had God's Spirit when they were alive, but now they're dead. Romans 8:17 says, those who have God's Spirit will be glorified with Christ, but we will be glorified at different times. Christ was glorified when he rose from the grave some 2,000 years ago. When will the dead in Christ be glorified? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. So the dead in Christ will be glorified at his coming. Do we know the names of any of the dead in Christ? Absolutely we do. The dead in Christ include members of the church who were baptized, who had hands laid on them, who received God's Holy Spirit, and who remained faithful until they died. Many of us have family members who were in the church when they died. Our mothers, our fathers, our mates, our sisters, our brothers. And in a few sad cases, we had baptized children who died. The millennium will be a wonderful time of family reunion for those of us who had family members in the church. My mother, Muriel Doolam, died in 1985, 38 years ago. She died in the faith. My father-in-law, Allie Backfish, died in 1993. He died in the faith. My older brother, Gary Doolam, died in 2018, just 5 years ago. He died in the faith. They're gone from my life now in this life. But when the millennium comes, I get to see them again. And during the millennium, I hope to spend some leisure time sitting under a vine or a fig tree, visiting once again with my mother, my father-in-law, and my brother. And it's going to be wonderful to hear their voices again, to see the sparkle in their eyes, and to be thankful that they're in perfect health, no longer plagued by the diseases that took their lives, because they will be spirit beings. And we will once again meet church members from our congregations who have died. I serve in four congregations, Cape Girardeau and Poplar Bluff in Missouri, and Paducah and Henderson in Kentucky. And every year, it seems, we lose some church members to death. And I miss them because they're like family to me. I look forward to seeing them again. Their names are not in the Bible, but they are in the Book of Life. This year, we lost Louise Thompson and Jerry Griffith. Last year in 2022, it was Paul Quady. The year 2021 was a particularly bad year. We lost 11 brethren. Linda Russell, Ada Reynolds, Richard Shepherd, Bob Thompson, Barb Cloud, Paula Hoffman, Eunice Swenson, Larry Stotts, Linda Shifley, Dee Quady, and Ken Estes. And that was just 1 year. And then if we go back one more year to 2020, we lost Atleen Broach, Ed Hostetler, Juanita Archer, Bob Grove, Reva Miller, Earl Romer, and Preston Fritz. Now, Linda Russell, Paula Hoffman, and Earl Romer, and Preston Fritz had moved away from our area before they died, but we still have fond memories of them. And all of these baptized church members will live again as spirit beings, and we will be able to spend some time together in the millennium. What a happy family reunion that's going to be. And then in addition to our family members and church members who died, the dead in Christ includes many people from the pages of the Bible. Let's look at a few. Let's go to Ezekiel 37, verse 21. Ezekiel 37, verse 21. Then say to them, thus says the Lord, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. Let's skip to verse 24, where we learn the name of that king. Verse 24 of Ezekiel 37. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt, and they shall dwell there, they and their children and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. So Israel and Judah are going to be united again as one nation. And that too will be a great family reunion, to not have that division between you anymore. And David will rule over a united kingdom of Israel once again. He'll be a spirit being at that time, but he will be able to make himself appear as a human being. And notice who's going to be serving under David. Matthew 19:28. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28. Here Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples, and he said to them, it says, and Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So the 12 apostles are going to be there. Well, what are their names? Well, they're listed by different names in different places of the Bible, but in Acts 1:13, it lists them as Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And we can add Matthias to that number. So who else from the Bible will be in the millennium? Well, Hebrews 11 lists a lot of people from the Old Testament, and notice what it says about them in Hebrews 11, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. These all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Well, who are these people? What are we talking about? What are their names? Well, if we look back to the chapter, we would see verse 4, Abel. Verse 5, Enoch. Verse 7, Noah. Verse 8, Abraham. Verse 11, Sarah. Verse 20, Isaac. Verse 21, Jacob. Verse 22, Joseph. Verse 23, Moses. Verse 30, Joshua. Verse 31, Rahab. Verse 32, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, Samuel, and the prophets. And there are probably many others whose names are in the Bible, but they're not in this chapter. And there may be others who lived in Bible times, but their names never made it into the Bible. And they, too, will be there in the millennium. And there are people in the church who remain faithful unto death from the day the church started on Pentecost, AD 31, until today. And their names are not in the Bible, but some of them are in history books about the church history. People like Papias, Ignatius, and Polycarp, Irenaeus, Melito, Polycrates, Berengarius, Peter de Bries, Peter Waldo, Walter the Lollard, Michael Servetus, Edward Stennett, Stephen Mumford, William Hiscox, Herbert Armstrong, Dennis Looper. All of the dead in Christ will be made alive when Christ returns to this earth, and they will rise to meet Christ in the air, and they will follow him as his feet touch down on the Mount of Olives, and they will rule with Christ for 1,000 years. They will be in the millennium. The fourth group, number four, we who are alive and are Christ's at his coming will be in the millennium. We who are alive and are Christ's at his coming will be in the millennium. The dead in Christ will rise first, but then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And we're not going to die. What's going to happen to us instead? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So we're going to be changed instantly into spirit beings, and then we will join the dead in Christ who were raised from the dead to become spirit beings. And as spirit beings, we're going to be able to travel back and forth between the spirit realm and the physical realm. We'll be able to appear and disappear to the human beings that exist. And that's going to be really cool. You know, I don't think we can imagine what life will really be like as a spirit being. But I guarantee you this, it's going to be better than we can imagine. It's going to be better than we can imagine. And I'm hoping that there will be some downtime, call it downtime, when we will be able to meet and socialize with the Father and the Son, maybe chat with our guardian angel and thank him for all he did for us while we were humans. And as I mentioned earlier, I hope to sit under a vine or a fig tree, drink a cold beer or a glass of wine, and visit with family members and church members who died in the faith but are now spirit beings too. And I'd like to get to know the heroes of the past throughout church history and from the pages of the Bible. Now, we spirit beings will all be given thrones, and we will live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And what will our jobs be? Well, Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10 says we will be kings and priests, and our jobs will be to teach God's way of life to the human beings who are alive in the millennium. What humans? What humans will there be? Number 5, fifth group, physical Israelites will be in the millennium. At the end time, the descendants of ancient Israel will be punished with national captivity for their sins, and this time of war and captivity is called the time of Jacob's trouble. And when Christ returns, he will rescue the Israelites from their captivity. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 30, we'll begin reading in verse 4. Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah, for thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? Alas, for that day is great, and there is none like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. But notice the next verse, the next part of this verse. But he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds, and foreigners shall no more enslave them. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be quiet, and no one will make him afraid. How many Israelites will survive to make it and live in the millennium? Well, turn with me to Amos 5 and verse 1. Amos 5, verse 1. Hear this word which I take up against you, this lamentation, O house of Israel. The Virgin of Israel has fallen. She will rise no more. She lies forsaken in the land. There is no one to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, the city that goes out by 1,000 shall have 100 left. And that which goes out by 100, she shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. So it kind of looks like about 10% of Israel will survive. Now, I think most of us understand that the United States is one of the countries in the world today that is descended from Israel. The United States has about 332 million people in it. And if only 10% survives, that means we'll have about 33 million Americans in the millennium. And that may seem like a lot, 33 million, to stop and consider. The state of California has 39 million people in it. So that means everybody else in the whole country would be dead, and not even all the Californians would make it. And that gives you a little better feeling of what it means to only have 10% of us survive. Who will be among the 33 million that survive from this world into the world tomorrow? Well, as Mr. Dick mentioned on Wednesday in his sermon, the people who survive will be those who are teachable. It is my hope that our family members who were never baptized will be protected by God through the end time and will survive into the millennium. There are some scriptures that seem to indicate that our children and our grandchildren may be among the survivors. So let's read those. Isaiah 43, verse 5. Isaiah 43, verse 5. Fear not, for I am with you, God says. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. And I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Let's look at Isaiah 49, verse 22. Isaiah 49, verse 22. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift my hand in an oath to the nations and set up my standard for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Kings shall be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick up the dust of your feet. And then they will know that I am the Lord, and they shall not be ashamed who wait for me. Isaiah 54, verse 13. Isaiah 54, verse 13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Isaiah 65, verse 21. Isaiah 65, verse 21. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Wouldn't it be wonderful to work with our children and our grandchildren or other descendants of ours in the millennium? If this happens, it will be one more reason why the millennium will be a 1,000-year great family day. Now, what about all the people in the world today who come into contact with the Church of God, but God isn't calling them at this time. What about the 300,000 subscribers we have to Beyond Today magazine? The church's YouTube channel has had 17.24 million views. Many of us have had new people come to our church services. They'll come one or two Sabbaths, and then they don't come back. They don't commit. These people are learning some of the truth of God and His ways, but they're not coming to church today. They're not getting baptized today. Is it a waste of our effort to preach the gospel to people, these people? Or could it be that God is planting seeds that will produce fruit in these people if they live into the millennium? Perhaps God is laying a spiritual foundation in today's world that will be built upon in the millennium. Let's look at Jeremiah 24, verse 6. Jeremiah 24, verse 6. God says, "For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. And then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart." I believe that there are many people that we are reaching with the gospel who are not being called by God now, but the seeds are being planted and a foundation is being laid so that they will repent in either in captivity or when they see Christ returning, and then they will have a willing heart and teachable minds when the millennium begins. Let's look at Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." So people from Israel, there will be a remnant that will survive and make it into the millennium. Number six, the sixth group, people from other nations other than Israel will be in the millennium. People from nations other than Israel will be in the millennium. You know, Israel is not the only nation that God will preserve through the end of this age. Other nations surrounding the Israelite nations will survive, and they're going to live into the millennium. Look at Jeremiah 12, 14. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 14. "Thus says the Lord, against all my evil neighbors who touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit." You know, the neighbors around Israel. It says, "Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. And then it shall be, after I have plucked them out, that I will return and have compassion on them and bring them back, everyone to his heritage and everyone to his land. And it shall be that if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name as the Lord lives, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be established in the midst of my people. But if they do not obey, then I will utterly pluck them up and destroy that nation, says the Lord." So when the nations around Israel, they start seeing Israel living God's way under the rulership of King David and the apostles, then they're going to be expected to follow their example, follow the example of Israel, and live God's way too. Are they going to do that? Are they going to follow the example? Turn to Micah 4, verse 1. You heard this read last night if you were at Bible study. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge between many peoples, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Jesus Christ is not going to be king over a few paltry peasants and lord over some small plot of land. He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there will be many kings and many lords who will be ruling many nations in the millennium. But Jesus Christ is going to be over them all. Two of the nations that are mentioned by name in the Bible are Assyria and Egypt. So yes, people from nations other than Israel will be in the millennium. Number seven, the seventh group. Babies will be born in the millennium. The physical families that live into the millennium will have babies who will grow up and have families of their own. The small population of the world that lives into the millennium will grow into a larger population as the thousand years progress. In Ezekiel 36, verses 10 to 12, Ezekiel 36, 10 to 12, in the Good News Bible, it says, God says, I will make your population grow. You will live in the cities and rebuild everything that was left in ruins. I will make people and cattle increase in number. There shall be more of you than ever before. And you will have many children. And I will let you live there as you used to live. And I will make you more prosperous than ever. And then you will know that I am the Lord. I will bring you, my people, Israel, back to live again in the land, and it, the land, will never again let your children starve. Well, today, we have seen that the millennium is only part of God's future eternal kingdom. It is the first 1,000 years of Christ's rule on earth, and not everyone is going to be there. We mentioned four groups of beings who will not be in the millennium. The beast and the false prophet will not be there. The armies that fight Christ will not be there. Satan and his demons will not be there. And almost everyone who has ever lived and died will not be there. But there are seven very privileged, very special groups of beings who will be in the millennium. Number one, God the Father and Jesus Christ will be in the millennium. Number two, righteous angels will be in the millennium. Number three, the dead in Christ who will be resurrected to eternal life will be in the millennium. Number four, those who are Christ and are alive at his coming will be in the millennium, but they will be changed into spirit beings. Number five, a remnant of physical Israel will be in the millennium. Number six, a remnant of the physical nations who are not Israel will also be in the millennium. And number seven, babies born in the millennium will be there. The millennium will be the start of a great family reunion, and we will once again be with family members and friends who died in the faith. And we will get to meet many others whom we never knew but are now part of God's eternal family. People like Abraham, Moses, David, Ruth, Rahab, the apostles. With all these people in the millennium, there's only one question that remains. Will we be there? That decision is up to us. Turn with me to Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. If we are here keeping this feast, we're on the right track. It is my sincere desire and prayer that everyone here will be there in the millennium. So let us put away anything that will prevent us from entering the millennium. Let us strive with every ounce of strength that we have to do the right thing to our very last breath. And if we do, then we will be part of that 1,000-year-long family day called the millennium.